In West Africa, the tiny nation of Equatorial Guinea has recently become Africa's third largest oil producer. So far, the oil bonanza has spurred at least one coup attempt, embroiled Washington, D.C.-based Riggs Bank in scandal, and has yet to benefit many ordinary citizens. Despite exporting billions of dollars of crude each year, the majority of Equatorial Guinea's population still survives on less than a dollar a day.
In recent years, the United States has improved its diplomatic and economic ties with Equatorial Guinea's repressive government. This small West African nation is exporting more and more oil to the American market. NPR's Jason Beaubien reports from the capital, Malabo.
The streets of Equatorial Guinea's capital say a lot about this country. Its past is reflected in the crumbling Spanish colonial architecture. Its oppressive political environment is evident in people's fears of talking to foreign journalists and the lack of newspapers. Its wildly imbalanced economy can be seen as gleaming Mercedes sedans, Ford Expeditions, and Toyota Land Cruisers appear like mirages in the trash-strewn streets. Significant oil reserves were discovered in Equatorial Guinea's waters in 1996. Over the last 7 years, oil production has gone from almost nothing to 350,000 barrels a day. On the eastern side of Malabo, the slum of El Nguema slopes down towards the Atlantic. Heaps of garbage line the meager streams that cut through the area. The homes are small, tin and wood shacks. Some people have outhouses, but most relieve themselves amidst the black volcanic boulders on the beach. Aid workers point out that the country has a population of only 500,000 people, and it could develop rapidly if it invested in schools, sewers, and power lines. But corruption is rampant, and most Equatorial Guineans have seen little change since the oil boom, except rapid inflation.
No, yo no beneficio del petróleo, porque yo no pertenezco en la familia del presidente.
Antonio Ndo, who's 22 and unemployed, says he hasn't benefited from the oil because he's not connected to the president's family. Ndo has no running water, the electricity in El Nguema is sporadic, and the unpaved roads turn into rivers of mud when the tropical rains come.
Hay petróleo y hay dinero también.
There's oil and there's money here, Ndo says, but some people have it and some people don't. The people who have gotten fantastically rich in the last few years are a small elite with close ties to President Teodoro Obiang Nguema. Earlier this year, a Senate investigation into money laundering accusations at Riggs Bank in Washington found accounts controlled by President Obiang and his family that held some $700 million. This for the president of a country that just 10 years ago was ranked as one of the poorest in the world. According to a report from the Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations, U.S. oil companies in recent years failed to properly disclose millions of dollars in payments into President Obiang's accounts. One account that the subcommittee said should have raised red flags received deposits of $11 million in cash over a two-year period. A Riggs employee told the subcommittee that the money was often lugged into the bank in suitcases. Officials here in Equatorial Guinea say the Riggs Bank accounts were government accounts and there was nothing irregular about them. Last week, 14 alleged mercenaries from South Africa and Armenia were paraded in shackles and handcuffs into a Malabo courtroom. 11 of them were found guilty of plotting to overthrow the government. State prosecutor Jose Olo Obono says the men were the advance team for a plane load of South African mercenaries who were arrested in Zimbabwe in March. The larger group was detained when their private Boeing 727 stopped in Harare to pick up a shipment of weapons. Obono says the coup was an attempt to grab control of Equatorial Guinea's oil. It's important to note that since Equatorial Guinea became independent from Spain in 1968, there have only been two presidents, and the single transfer of power came through a palace coup. In 1979, President Obiang ousted his uncle and had him executed. Now, terrified that he'll meet a similar fate and not trusting his own soldiers, President Obiang is protected by an elite band of Moroccan bodyguards. While the most recent alleged coup plot involves many known South African mercenaries, the government here also regularly announces that it's foiled another coup. Human rights groups say the foiled coups are an excuse to arrest members of the political opposition and their families.
My name is Fabian Nguema. I'm a lawyer in exercise.
Attorney Fabian Sue Nguema is a lawyer in Malabo. He's also a member of the political opposition. In 2002, Nguema was arrested and tortured, he says, for insulting the president. He spent 5.5 months in Malabo's notoriously brutal Black Beach prison.
Me ataron las manos atrás.
My arms were tied behind my back and cinched to my legs, he says, and then they beat me on my feet and neck. Nguema was also involved in the recent mercenary trial. He took over as a defense lawyer for the South Africans after their first lawyer died. Nguema insists that his clients are innocent. He says the only evidence against them are their signed confessions in Spanish, a language none of them speak. And he says he wasn't allowed to meet with them to prepare a defense. One time, I was able to meet with them only one time, he says. Last week, five of his clients were given lengthy prison terms in Black Beach Prison, and three were acquitted. Mark Schmidt was one of the acquitted. A few hours after his release, sipping a cold San Miguel beer in a hotel bar in Malabo, Schmidt says they were all beaten severely. One German who was arrested with him died in prison, officially of malaria. Schmidt shakes his head and says he didn't die of malaria. He was beaten. Schmidt says a steady stream of prisoners were brought into Black Beach Prison and tortured until they confessed to various crimes.
Yeah, well, when we left and we drove up that steep hill out of there and just to see it for the last time was a good feeling. It was great. I hope and pray to God I never go back there again.
Schmidt says he was the most fortunate of the alleged coup plotters because he was designated as the cook for his fellow prisoners. The warders undid his handcuffs during the day, but the other inmates were cuffed and shackled continuously for the last 9 months. In the early 1990s, amidst complaints about Equatorial Guinea's dismal human rights record, the Clinton administration shut down the U.S. embassy in Malabo. But with the discovery of oil and an influx of thousands of American oil workers, the U.S. is now in the process of reestablishing a diplomatic presence here. This hot, malarial island is difficult to get to from just about anywhere. Most flights require lengthy stopovers in Togo, Cameroon, or Gabon. But if you're flying from Texas, there's a direct flight once a week from Houston. Jason Beaubien, NPR News, Malabo, Equatorial Guinea.